Well, a couple weeks ago, I asked Randy if I could come out and share with you guys and thank y'all for helping us fund a trip to Louisiana. And I told him, I said, now I'm not coming to solicit money. I'm not asking you for a dime. I just want to come and say thank you. And that has not changed. Even though we're going back, I didn't come to ask you for any money. I just wanted to say thank you for helping us to go. You can blame some of your church members for my desire to go serve in missions. You can blame James and Kay Smith. I've traveled all over the United States and part of Mexico with them. We always went to build stuff, repair stuff, build churches. We were in Naco, Arizona. You remember that trip? This guy comes by, and we're working on this church, and he comes by, and he said, what are you doing? I said, we're building a church. He said, what are you building a church for, Christ's sake? And I said, exactly. He said, do what? And I said, what'd you say? And he said, what are you building a church for Christ's sake? I said, exactly. He goes, oh, forget it. And he just walked off. I have a desire that God put in me years ago to go and serve. But there was a incident that happened in 2016 that changed my life and changed my wife's life. People give not expecting anything in return if it's truly a gift. And I've never had a problem doing that, but I have a problem on the receiving end of that. Pride gets in the way a lot of times of our walk. And in 2016, December the 20th, my wife and I stood in our driveway and watched our house burn. And we were kind of laughing, you know, what are you going to do? She said, well, after 40 years, she said, I've been praying during the Christmas holidays that God would help me thin out. And I said, well, he just answered your prayer. You're thinning. But something happened during that time that overwhelmed me. The outpouring of love from this community to us was uncanny. You have a couple in this church offered us a house, rent-free as long as we needed it, and a nice house. The only drawback was it's in the country, and my wife has glaucoma, and she can't see after dark. I'd have had to go get her, or you'd have had to bring her home. She'd have never found her way out there. So for 2 months, I couldn't even buy a meal in this town. I would go out to eat, and they'd say, aren't you the Morgans? Yes. Didn't your house burn? Yeah. Your meal's paid for. So I've learned that sometimes you find yourself in a condition or a situation that you have no control over, and you're overwhelmed. A few years ago, James and Kay, I called the other one. I was pastoring down at Comanche, and we, after Katrina hit, we went down and worked down there. I said, would you come and help me? Because I'm always following them. They're always taking charge and telling me what to do. I never had to go and tell somebody what to do. I said, would you come and go and tell me what to do? And so they went, and we worked down there. And what we saw, what a hurricane could do, I've seen tornado damage and more and Duncan, but a hurricane is huge. I mean, it's massive, and what it does is just phenomenal. And my nephew pastors a church in Connersville, Indiana. It's a biker church, so he's a heathen like me. He looks worse than I do. You think I look bad? He got a passion about 5 or 6 years ago after these tornadoes or fires or whatever, to go and feed people. And he's been trying to get us to go, and I said, well, I'm not equipped to do so. So a little over a year ago, I told our church, I said, I want to put together a food trailer where we can go with Chris and feed people after a disaster. And so after church, a couple walked up to me, and they said, "You don't have to buy a food trailer." I said, "Why?" They said, "You can have ours." Now, they had a barbecue business, and they had a custom-built food trailer with a fully equipped stainless steel kitchen in the front. I mean, this thing is top of the line. And it had a big smoker in the back that we converted into a giant oven, and we can cook a lot. So we had been working on it, trying to get all the kinks worked out, and I got it fixed the week before that hurricane hit. My nephew called, and he said, "Are you going with me?" And I said, "I'm going with you." And my wife said, "How are you going to pay for that?" And I said, "I don't know. That's not my problem. My problem is being obedient and going. God will take care of that." So I put a deal on Facebook. I was shocked. I mean, people I don't even know that I'm Facebook friends with started dropping money by the house. And we took in almost enough in a week to fund that entire trip. Our church was out like $2,500. Between the two churches, we spent a little over $40,000. We fed over 30,000 meals in 2 weeks. Chris had, his church had fed generally from 300 to 500. One day they fed 1,000, and they were totally unprepared for that. They go down there the week before we get there, and they were feeding 3,000 people a day. He said, "Man, you got to get down here. I need some help." So we started gathering up stuff and cooking food. And I took three freezers full of cooked meat, and we served it in 2.5 days. The first Monday, we got there Sunday night, and we loaded that oven and started baking potatoes. I had cooked pulled pork, I mean, an incredible amount of meat. We started serving, and in the first hour and 10 minutes, we served 1,250 meals. People were lined up for 2 miles just to get food. My nephew, Dwayne, that lives in Marlow, he had gone down, and I met him at the parking lot. They met us. We got in late that night, and he goes, "Man," he said, "this is crazy." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "For the first 2 days down here, I couldn't do anything but cry." He said, "Listening to the stories, what these people have gone through, absolutely has broke my heart." He said, "My kids have never wanted for anything. They've never missed a meal. They've never been homeless. They've never not had shelter over their head." He said, "These people don't have electricity, so all their food's spoiled." The first week that happened, all the church members of this church where we set up in their parking lot brought all their food to the church and just set up grills and started cooking the food they had and giving it to people because all the restaurants were closed. The stores were closed. I've never seen firsthand that. We went 6 months after Katrina, and so everything was back open. The people that were coming through there, I found out one thing. When disaster happens, I don't care how wealthy you are, you're still in the same boat as everybody else. When they finally opened a restaurant, we were tired of eating our own cooking because you can only eat so much when you're feeding 30. I mean, that stuff got to looking like all the same. We had a man give us 8,000 pounds of chicken out of Houston. It showed up in a reefer truck, and it was frozen in big chunks, and we couldn't really do anything with most of it. It was huge. And when we got home, you couldn't have stuck a piece of chicken in these people's mouth. They had chicken. They've seen chicken. We've grilled chicken. We boiled chicken. We pulled chicken. We chicken this, chicken that. And they didn't want pulled pork. They didn't want hamburger. They want, you know. So we went to eat Mexican food. And where there's 20 of us eating in this restaurant, and somebody said, "Somebody just paid for most of our meal." And this man was standing there talking to us, and he said, "My wife and I have been eating the last 2 weeks in y'all's food line." I said, "Well, we're glad we could help." He goes, "You know, my wife told me that she felt guilty about coming through the food line because we live in a really nice house. I have money in the bank. I drive a nice car. And he said, I was in the same line as everybody else because I had nothing to eat, just like everybody else. And I said, so are you the fellow that paid for our meal? He goes, well, somebody did. He said, there was a guy that was really impressed us every time we passed by the church. You had this big guy. And he was out there handing out food, and he's dancing around, had a big smile on his face. He looked like he was having more fun than anybody in the state of Louisiana. This guy weighs like 300 and something pounds. He's a big old boy. He's about 6'5", and he is full of life, and he's serving. Because I've been telling people for years, the joy, having joy in your life, the answer to that is to give yourself away. And those people have learned that the joy is serving, to give your life away. We don't know the people in Louisiana. I didn't know anybody down there. And we sit here in Oklahoma in our nice comfy houses, in our nice churches that are dry. You're going to see a picture of a church that was like this. It was beautiful. It was. It's got to come down totally because it's tweaked, the roof's half off, and it was a beautiful sanctuary, but they've lost their church. They're trying to find a place to meet. Now the other storm's hit and it's flooded all that. But we sit here in Oklahoma and we think, oh, that's terrible, somebody should do something. Well, when God speaks to you, that somebody that ought to do something is us. It was us. God had equipped us to go, so we had 1 week to get ready to go. And I was kind of, you know, people ask, why do you feel, my son-in-law was, why do you feel compelled to go do this? Why do you feel like you're the one, there's a lot of people, that's 500 miles down there, why do you feel like you need to go? Well, the Bible speaks to a lot of questions we're asked if we just open it and look at it. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, dear brother? This is written out of the New Living Translation. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but do not show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save you? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Nothing. We left on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, traveled, got there, set up, and fed for a week. The last day we were there, there was this lady came through, had a little baby in the back seat. She said, is this your last day here? And the person running the front line said, yes. And she just broke into tears. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. They said, what do you mean? She said, I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids. My nephew looked at me and he said, we can't go home. I said, Chris, we can't stay. We can come and make a dent. We cannot fix the problem. Somebody else has to help. We have to go home. From the bottom of our heart, thank you for your part in sending us down. We leave next Sunday to go back for 2 weeks. I've got people lined up to cook all week. We're bringing big cookers, and we're going to cook double what we took the first time. Some people, like you said, need to stay, and some people need to go. But the most thing we ask that you do for us is pray. Pray for our safety, because God protected us from the COVID, because we were in contact with thousands of people. I mean, thousands. And when you're in a disaster and nobody wearing a mask, they're just trying to function through the day. And God protected us. We used gross quantities of Clorox. I hate the smell of Clorox, and I hate it worse now because everything that we touched ended up with Clorox on it. So pray for us. I just want to say thank you. And they built me a little video when we were down there to kind of give you an idea of what
what we looked at when we got down there and kind of what our encampment looked like. So once again, thank you, Randy, for your church's contribution. Thank y'all for praying, and we ask you to keep praying for us. Thank you.
been a long time coming.
Sure has. It sure has. When we started 5-6 years ago, never thought we'd be able to do this together. Been wishing for a long time. Took us a while to kind of get squared away and get ready, but man, it's been a good week. These people have really been appreciative of what's going on. They don't have anything to eat. I mean, you came down a week before we did, and we came in, and man, you've served how many meals in the last 2 weeks?
We served 15,000 the first week, and we're probably pretty close to 30 after today.
Well, after on Monday, we served 1,250 meals in the first hour and 10 minutes we were open. That's a lot. That's a lot of meals.
Yeah, big long lines.
But, you know, what we got to get across to people is we can't do this by ourselves. It takes a lot of money. We've spent, I figured between us, close to $40,000 in the past 2 weeks. And so if we're going to continue to do this, we're going to have some help from our communities. Chris has been at it a long time. He's got a lot of people helping him, and we're just starting. But we're going to join together from in the future more than once to put together a team and come down and feed people that have no electricity, no food. And man, people have been, when they're serving, they're meeting, people are crying, thankful. You know, one lady yesterday had a little baby and said she's not had a hot meal until yesterday since the hurricane. And that's crazy.
It's also been neat to watch all the community around us. We haven't paid for one stitch of propane. A gas propane company around here has been giving us all that. Walmart Meat Market has been giving us a ton of stuff as far as vegetables and fruit, and all kinds of different stuff. So the community's really stepped up like a big way. We've never fed this many at any of ours.
So usually feed what, a couple hundred people a day?
Right around there, between that and 1,000 is what we usually have.
You've been feeding minimum of 2,500 3,000 people one day y'all fed. So in the future, you know, we're going to need your help. But it's been a great week. And for those that have helped, them both in Connersville and in Duncan, we thank you for your support. Let me tell you, your investment has not been wasted. It's helped a lot of people. And from behalf of Cross Point Biker Church in Connersville, Indiana, and Freedom Biker Church of Duncan, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your help.